Okay, let's go ahead and start.
My name is Mark Matthews. In case I look familiar, I'm the one playing the drums every morning and sometimes evening. So we are with the band, which my wife has dubbed the Levites. Get it? Lee Miller Vites. Yeah, that was her cute little thing. A little bio about me. I've been with the fire department for 25 years. I'm also a former auxiliary deputy. I've been an EMT for about 27 years. My whole adult life has been pretty much spent around public safety and helping other people in need. I've had an interest in preparedness early on, probably the late 80s. A lot of that stemmed from when I got involved in the gun control movement, or the anti-gun control movement, and things just kind of grew from there. I got involved in politics, and I realized what a mess the world is in, and so it just kind of came naturally with my occupation to make this more of a lifetime hobby, and then it's not something that has to be like, oh my gosh, you know, I've got to get a year's supply of food today, instead of, you know, over time just gradually building something for your resources. I'm going to be lazy. I'm going to sit down because I'm going to read some notes off of my laptop while y'all see the screen. And y'all see my little squirrely thing up there. He's the frugal squirrel. And we're going to see if this actually works. Mouse is not working. That is working. Okay, if you happen to have phones on, if you would turn it off, because, and I better do the same thing because I might be the first guilty party here. Okay. Actually, I'm not sure what kind of signal you're going to get down here to begin with. Okay, this is an introduction to practical preparedness. It's an introduction because it's a very basic overview. It's simply me talking, getting your minds grinding about things to think about. I'm not going to tell you how to, you know, dig a well or, you know, grow blueberries or whatever. It's just this is a mind thing. And I have, you know, now more than ever, because I think most of you are aware of the political climate that we are currently in. A lot of people, including myself, believe that this November's election is going to make or break which direction our country goes, okay? And that's why I wanted to do this. I actually did this presentation about 4 or 5 years ago at Lake Murray, if any of you are, I know they are, have been around for a while, but and let's see, before we go back, congratulations on your decision to sort of do something a lot of people would rather just sit in front of the TV. Thank you, Julian. You know, doing the couch potato thing and hope that nothing ever happens. You know, ask people in New Orleans if something ever happens, okay? There are crises all across the world. Through incremental steps, you can begin to take a burden off of yourself and not be one to your neighbors in a crisis situation. And when you think about it, when the doo-doo hits the fan and you don't have your neighbors and friends kind of involved in this too, who are they going to be coming to? So this is not something that you want to go and broadcast and that you've done, but you kind of want to make them aware of, hey, you know, you ever thought about doing this, and kind of get their minds stirring as well. Okay, a little bit of biblical concept. I'm not going to go into it a whole lot because this whole feast pretty much is biblical. This is more on the practical side of things. But we do have Noah, as everybody knows, took enough food for his family and the animals to last over a year, okay, plus the time until the next harvest. And people thought he was a fool, right? Also, Joseph directed the storing of grain during the 7 plenteous years to be used during the 7 years of famine. I already covered that. Okay. Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, yet being warned of God of things not yet as seen, moved with fear, prepared in heart to the saving of his house. The Greek word there for saving, and I'm not going to go to the all the depths of everything, but the Greek there is soteria, which includes the words preservation and safety. Okay. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay. And of course, there's a whole lot of non-biblical concepts as well. One is because it just makes sense. Okay, why do we have homeowners insurance, fire insurance, car insurance? Okay, because it makes sense. In case your house burns down, you can get another one. Okay? It basically is coverage for risk. Your building of a preparedness supplies is to cover for risk. And it's to be ready for any what-if situation. Okay, some real easy quotes. Everybody knows that one, right? At least the Boy Scouts do. Okay, be prepared. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. And I have to repeat some of the stuff because we are being audio recorded, so I've got to make sure they can kind of get a visual of what we're presenting here. Preparation through education is less costly than learning through tragedy. And that's by a former National Hurricane Director. Preparedness, when properly pursued, is a way of life, not a sudden, spectacular program. And honestly, I'm not sure who Spencer Kimball is, but it sounded good. There is peace of mind knowing you have made the necessary preparations to deal with most what events most likely to occur.
Good.
That's Lee, by the way, in case you haven't figured it out. If you aren't prepared to take care of the needs of your family, you will be part of the problem and not the solution. And who said that? Hey, yes, I was involved in the Y2K effort. Actually had a local group, and in fact the next slide here has a lovely media doing a write-up. Of course, the media generally likes to make you look like a freak, and that's fine, but this actually was a good writing, and I'm just explaining the insurance example that I gave before. And basically, I don't know if you can read it or not, but it says, if this is all turns out to be nothing, it will make my day. And it did. I'm glad nothing happened. I enjoy my air conditioning. I enjoy going to the junk food places and Walmarts and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't want anything really to change if it doesn't have to. But bottom line, we can't predict. Okay. Don't think it can't happen. There are currently about 27 wars or conflicts worldwide. The U.S. has a lot of enemies. Our economy is somewhat collapsing despite what the administration currently says. Are we susceptible to attacks? Okay, thank you. I'll let everybody answer that themselves, but that's cool. In depressed economies, people of the Depression in the 30s knew how to grow and put up food. How many people today know how to do that? Okay, well, hey, guess where I'm coming in an emergency? Okay. Okay, we all experience extreme weather events. This area, I assume, is more of the tornadoes and whatnot. I'm from Virginia, so we have the hurricane events. And no matter where you're from, there is a potential for a weather event. You have victims of crime. Look, back up. Victims of crimes, including from corrupt governments. And if you don't think bad things can happen here without warning, you have swallowed the blue pill, so wake up and do something while you have the opportunity to do so. And everybody remembers the movie The Matrix. Okay, a little history. Speaking of corrupt governments, go off the path for just a tad. I'm sure many, if not most of you, have probably seen this. A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. What kind of government do we have? Okay. See, I don't have to teach y'all anything. I can just pack up here and leave. Anyway, it can exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves largesse from the public treasury. From that time on, the majority always votes for the candidates, promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that a democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy, always followed by a dictatorship, almost like what we have now. Okay, the average age of the world's greatest civilizations has been 200 years. These nations have progressed through this sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, from dependency back again into bondage. Okay, and that's by Sir Alex Fraser Kreitler, if that's correct. They're not 100% sure. Regardless, it holds a lot of truth. Okay, now I brought this up because where are we at today? Any wild guesses? Okay, yeah. I would say like probably the last, two or three, somewhere in that order, okay? And when you study just a little bit about history and the Holocaust, you can kind of see the same thing that happened to them, okay, and think they could have done to possibly avert what happened to them. We need to look at our political barometer to prepare for possible upheavals. We prepare not just from storms and such, but from political and economic disasters as well, such as the one that could be coming. Just some food for thought. Okay, are you ready to trust and depend on your government to cover all your needs in a time of crisis?
No.
You didn't like what they did in Katrina? The cutting of power, the stopping of the fuel supplies. That was all FEMA. Yeah. It was an interesting time, that's for sure. Okay, what kinds of situations require us to be self-reliant? Unemployment. How many of you have ever been unemployed in your life? Okay, good chunk of you, okay? Wouldn't it have been nice to have like a year's supply of food so you would have the peace of mind? You know, just something for that purpose, okay? Loss of income, such as a farmer with a bad crop. Farmers and the like may be self-employed, but if the goods don't move or sales aren't made, they're not going to have an income, are they? Regional, national, or global crop failure resulting in widespread food shortage and high prices. Transportation system failures due to labor strikes, weather, fuel shortages, or the government. And here we got Katrina again. War or civil unrest and terrorism. Don't think it won't happen here, just like in the L.A. riots, but in multiple cities simultaneously. And then, of course, you have the open border issues where anybody can just march on through with a suitcase bomb or whatever else, you know. So, honestly, I'm surprised something has not happened at this point in time. But thankfully, it has not. Rationing. I imagine a few of y'all remember the 70s gas rationing. I'm not trying to catch you on your age or anything, but, you know. Food and other necessities could be rationed if shortages occur. Economic crisis such as the Depression. It happened before, and it's happening now. Consider current housing crisis, bailouts galore, and now health care. Possibly the VAT and the cap and tax soon. Our country is bankrupt with little hope of a turnaround. Like I mentioned earlier before some of you got here, I feel that the November elections are going to be a make or break point for this country, depending on what happens. The probability of things continuing to go south are high, once again, depending on what happens this election. Disease, epidemics, and quarantines. Not taking away from any legitimate pandemics, okay, but we have to, you know, classify what legitimate is. Our current administration was making a fuss over swine flu and talk of mandatory inoculations. I'm sure everybody's familiar with that stuff. And my honest opinion is the government-induced hoax for more government control. And ended up to be another nothing like the bird flu. After I crunched the numbers, you are over 5.5 times more likely. Oops, I didn't mean to hit that. But anyway, hang on a minute. Let me slide my notes down a little bit. You're 5.5 times more likely to get murdered than get H1N1. Okay? My point is, once again, government. I'm trying to be nice, but it's hard to with them. I know. Oh, no. Okay, family members... this is going to be redacted now. A family member is experiencing any of the above situations, and many don't believe in these events, and you must decide for yourselves whether this is a factor for you, okay? There are all kinds of rumors and survival or patriot things out there that just are just literally... you know, really far-fetched. You know, people tell me, well, do you believe in UFOs? It's like, not specifically, but even if I did, what am I going to do about it? You know, you got the spiritual aspect, you know, and everything else. But that's not something I'm going to concern myself with. I want to concern myself with what I can do to protect my family and my friends and neighbors as I am able. Okay, and here again, this kind of was to the anything leading up to possible 2012 or end-time events. There again, some things can be very far-fetched. You believe what you believe for whatever reason, and you prepare accordingly, okay? And this is a little thing back when the bird flu was real popular. So something's been transmitted from the birds to the humans. That's why they're all clucking like the chicken, right? And the swine flu was pretty much the same way, was it not? Okay. Here's some things to ask yourself. What natural disasters or extreme conditions am I are we likely to face in the next 5 years? In our area, it's hurricanes. A nor'easter can cause flooding. If we had a tsunami, yeah, it'd be very wet. In Oklahoma, it's tornadoes. What other disasters or emergency situations might I face? Home burglary, a car accident, lost in the woods on a cold night, medical situation with a delay in EMS response. It could be a number of things that you have to get your mind thinking on the what-ifs. What are the ramifications of not preparing for a given situation? Okay. This is what I don't understand, is why people that live in the middle of the woods in areas that constantly burn, why they make their shingles out of cedar shake. It's just, why don't you just pre-torch it, and that way it won't catch fire, right? Okay. Severe winter weather. You got to consider electrical outage that could affect heat, unless you have an alternative source such as wood stove or propane. Exposure problems. Do you have the proper clothing to travel in the cold? It's really easy to travel in the heat because you can just take it all off. So, but then you might want a little one of those solar water spray fans, you know, hat mounted. Frozen pipes. Did you forget to insulate them? Disruption of travel and transportation. In snow, primary roads are cleared first. Living in the boonies could be delayed. Self or family members possibly stranded away from home. Did you prepare the cars for an emergency? Possible food shortages and empty shelves at local markets. Same as with a hurricane or any other event, when you already have plenty of warning given, people always wait till when? Last minute. Okay? And what does the stores look like then? Okay? So it's always good to always be prepared for whatever you could probably think of that would be likely to come to your area, so you're not being one of those mobbing the batteries in the bread aisle. Okay, riot or other civil disorder. Okay, we had the disruption of a commute, such as in Los Angeles, and this was, again, did you prepare for your car? Stranded in a car or office while family is at home and or school. You got to remember where the rest of your family is at. Okay, danger of riot spreading to my area. How many people actually live in an urban area? Okay. Obviously, you got a few more concerns than those of us living in the boonies, right? So, one of the things that you want to have on your checklist is how to get out of that area if necessary. And if you can't, then you have a contingency plan to hunker down where you're at. You like that word, don't you, Julie? Hunker down? Yeah, okay. Danger of local kids or hoodlums taking advantage of a situation. And that kind of goes back to your neighbors can be the kindest people until their kids are starving. And then you will see the worst in people. I mean, they're going to do what they do, or they're going to do what they're going to do to protect their own family, and if they haven't prepared, guess what? They're going to come raid your garden. They're going to come get your guns, whatever else, you know, so things that you need to consider. Attack or threat to personal safety. Do you believe in the right to self-preservation, such as the use of arms, to protect your family? And we'll get into that in a little bit. Normally, this is what I was just discussing, normally good people can turn very bad in desperate situations, such as the inability to feed their family because they weren't prepared. Once all equipment is tied up, meaning like emergency services, you'll have to take a number. Okay? And I can tell you, I work in a city that has 10 fire stations, a city of, I don't know, ballpark of 100,000. And there are times when we get slammed and we're, you know, calling the next city over for mutual aid. Well, you know, it's good we have that, because if we didn't, then it would just be longer for something locally to clear up. And most departments have done that, but still, you're talking about a delayed response than the usual few minutes that you're expected to, well, the few minutes for the people in the city, maybe 15 for everybody else in the room. Looting and rampaging by otherwise lawful citizens. I think I just talked about that. Fire with potentially delayed or no response by fire department. Police are overwhelmed and cannot protect citizens. Okay? And you can imagine what Katrina was like. Good luck. All right, different level of preparation. Short term, we have less than 10 days. This is 10 days without your normal sources of electrical power, clean water, food, or access to bank accounts and such. This may include relocation to a safer area. We've all experienced this in some sort of weather-related event. We had an ice storm come through our area and knocked the power out for over a week. Fortunately, because I have the fire department, I went to work and took my showers. But most people don't have that luxury at their job. Medium term is from 10 days to 3 months, and this includes a recovery period from natural disasters or man-made events. And then you have long term, which is 3 months to a year, and this requires extensive self-reliance and self-sufficiency to weather events such as from a financial system meltdown and civil unrest. And then you have extended term, which is 1 year to whenever, right? And you know, how long did the Great Depression last? So you take a look at how long the Great Depression lasts times the amount of people that knew how to take care of themselves back then, and then look at it today, and it's not going to be a pretty picture unless we get our own country's finances in order. Okay, where to prepare? There could be more than just one location to prepare depending on circumstances. I have to check and make sure I am being timely here. Okay. One location, obviously, is your home. Okay, you can have a car, a camper, or RV. Some of you have that. Actually, I hope all of you have a car. A shelter, family or friends property, and a rally point or a cash location. Having alternative locations is prudent as a crisis local to home may force you to go elsewhere. Or you could be going from point A to point B and you're out of the block for whatever reason. So you want to say, okay, if I can't get to this location, what's my next option? You know, and hopefully you've got friends or family or somebody that you can retreat to. Should you stay or should you go? Isn't that a song? Okay. And you would know it, wouldn't you? Sing it for us. Okay. Did you plan for basics? Such as water, food, heat, alternative energy, etc. The more you've planned, the less stressful, keyword, and more comfortable the crisis will be. Okay. Evacuation plan, you want to consider where to go, such as a relative's or a friend's house, whether it's a workplace or a shelter. How do you get there? Car, truck, bus, plane, bicycle, horse, foot, all kinds of options, aren't there? It might not be the same options once the crisis actually gets here. What do you bring with you? If it's urgent, you just bring what's called a bug out bag of basic essentials. And that's basically a backpack, we'll get into that a little bit, that has something that'll hold you out for about 3 days or longer. If more time, maybe a truckload of goodies. All depends on how much space and how much money you got, right? Okay, the bug out kit, bug out bag, also known as a BOB. They got an acronym for everything today, don't they? Pre-packaged kit, it's also called bug out gear. Bug out simply means get out, okay? It's what you'll grab if you need to leave home in an emergency. You know, it really depends on the emergency. Obviously, if you hear the roar of a tornado and you don't have a hole on the ground to run to real quick, you probably don't want to be going anywhere. But, you know, a little common sense here goes a long ways. It's portable. And they're different types. There's personal, which is what I mentioned, a backpack, just a little small, like a school bag type thing. It just holds some goodies in it. You have your vehicle, which you're going to have bulkier stuff. And then you're going to have specialty kits. The personal is what you're going to carry. The vehicle stays in the trunk. And preferably at all times, so it's always there when you need it. It can be heavy or bulky, and considerations here will be temperature extremes. So if you're taking, like, an MRE, and you're keeping it in the trunk in 100-degree weathers, I don't know if I want to eat that MRE after a couple of summers. It might be kind of gross. And specialty is whatever you make it. And the example here is just like a medical kit. I'm an EMT. I've got a box that has extensive medical stuff in it. I imagine Derek, being a nurse, he probably has, a crash cart or something. I don't know. the personal bag is going to have things such as change of clothes, several days of food, general medical supplies, signaling device, GPS, cash. It's whatever you think of that you think you would want to have in there, okay? There are lists galore on the internet if you type in, if you want to Google something like preparedness bug out bag or something like that. There are all kinds of things out there. These are strictly examples. You'll need to consider what it is you are preparing for. Other items you could include are flashlight, bug spray, radio. It needs to be relatively light as you could be traveling long distances on foot, but large enough to hold essentials. Okay, it wants me to hit it again, I guess. Okay, your vehicle kit. Okay, you're going to have things like tools and specialty car items, such as a fix-a-flat, a shovel if you live in snow areas, spare bulbs and hoses to do your own fix-em-up things. Heavier or bulky items, such as sand, once again, for the snow situation, a blanket or sleeping bag for cold weather, and you could have a larger medical kit than most would. It has items that are normally for keeping your transportation moving, as well as carrying preparedness items that are heavier or bulky. Again, this is just a few of the many items you can include. Consider temperature extremes again before packing, such as water when it's freezing outside. You might not have that water you want. Alright, the basics. Mindset. We're going to talk about mental preparation. This is actually a number one thing. Now, obviously, you're going to have your spiritual aspect, okay, which everybody knows where they're at spiritually with whatever they do here, okay. This is the mental preparation I'm talking about, is that I am going to overcome whatever situation comes at me. There are all kinds of survival stories out there, and the ones that actually live to tell it will tell you that is the number one thing. I had my head screwed on straight, and I was able to make decisions such as, okay, it's starting to get cold, let me build the fire now, instead of waiting until I'm hypothermic, okay? A negative mindset about a given situation will have more potential negative results, such as giving up. A positive mindset about a given situation will have more potential positive results, such as, I have trained for this and I will get through it. Okay. Surviving is a bigger mindset. Doom and gloom equals death, and I will get through this equals life in a general case, okay? Your spiritual walk can drastically affect your life potential. We all know that. I like the cute little ducky. Okay, finding or obtaining water. Things you want to consider is a well, creek, stream, river, spring, rain water, such as a gutter collection system. And yes, you can collect water out of your gutter system, have it flow into a 55-gallon drum or similar container, have it strained, and then you just go through the process of sanitizing it, sterilizing it. Household plumbing can be drained, and you can actually use the holding tank of your toilet. And if you're really brave, you can use the toilet bowl itself, but make sure you clean it really good. Okay. Water isn't light. It weighs about 8 pounds per gallon. A 55-gallon drum weighs about 460 pounds, so you want to consider that when you're transporting it. Boiling, distillation, water tabs. I'm going to go through this here. Sodium hypochlorite, which is standard household bleach. That's the kind without additives and scents. Filtering, such as a Katadyn or a Pure filter. Stirrupin, which is an ultraviolet light that you actually stir a glass of liquid and it'll actually kill the little creepy crawlies in it. Desalination, which most people can't afford, salt water. Bottles, jugs, bathtub, washing machine will all hold water. If you know something in advance is coming, you can prepare these items for holding water. Okay. You saw that, you can die without it. Okay, that's kind of a key thing here. That is actually your priority in a survival situation, is making sure you have a source of water. You can last weeks without food, but only a few days without water. Okay, hydration is so we don't dehydrate or die, and to prevent sickness and disease. Sanitation and hygiene. bath and shower, flushing toilet, washing clothes, for your garden, and for your animals or pets. And you want to, you know, be able to have your food grow, so the rain gutter collection system is actually ideal for using for that purpose. Okay, gardening. Although considered a long-term solution, you want to learn how to garden. Experimenting in a crisis is not a good idea, if you know what I mean. You want to use non-hybrid, non-GMO seeds. Those are genetically modified organisms. And as you know, most things that we eat out of a box at Walmart generally have one or the other of these items in them. Hybrids use controlled cross-pollination, and once again, GMO. Non-hybrids are open cross-pollinated, natural the way they are meant to be, okay, the way God intended them to be. Save some plant seeds for next year, so if this is a long-term crisis, you can replant. ArcInstitute.com is a place that I get my seeds. I'm not tied to them in any way, so I don't make any money off them. They actually, when you go to the website, they will explain all kinds of details to you about the seeds and what they do. There are other companies. You can Google them. That's just who I use personally. All right, how much food do you need? Consider how many people you're feeding and their ages. Food storage calculators are available online as well to help you out. Using and storing commercial foods. Most store-bought non-perishables will last a year or more without problems. Certain items may be 6 months or less. Rotate your food. You must rotate to keep the supply as fresh as possible so you're not currently using all your current supply and then what you got left is a bunch of old moldy stuff. Bring older dated items to front. Cooking and baking items, you want to consider camp stoves, solar stoves, wood and gas ovens, pots, pans, and utensils. Special survivalist foods such as survival tabs and bars, all the way up to multi-person, multi-year dehydrated and freeze-dried systems. Homemade survival foods that you can use by canning and dehydrating or making jerky. And hunting and gathering in the wild. Hunting, dressing, curing, storing, identifying edible plants. How many people in here hunt? Okay, my list is narrowing down where I'm going to go. Okay, these are some pictures from the Y2K era. That's a lot of food, isn't it? Notice all that, my mouse work on here? Okay, well, see the peanut butter on the left? Okay, I counted about 11, but she may have more behind that, so I really hope she rotates her stuff. I don't know how much y'all like peanut butter, but whew. This is a high-end, long-term food storage solution. Mountain House has a combination of freeze-dried and dehydrated. And that is a year supply there. As you can see, it doesn't take up much room. I think it's 20 or 30 boxes or something of six number 10 cans per box. And that will supply you for a year's worth for one person. You got to consider how many people times that, okay? All right, that looks like a lot of food, doesn't it? That looks like a lot more. This is somebody I knew that had all that in their retreat in Arkansas. Okay, shelters. You can use your home as a shelter. It all depends on the situation, but you want to consider hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, winter storms, floods, and looters. Other shelters can be tents and other buildings. This is a homemade tent from plastic drop cloth. Actually, two pieces of plastic drop cloth bought from Walmart. And a paracord. A paracord actually runs along the top. You see the two little saplings there? There's a paracord that runs along the top, and that's what creates the top ridge. And through a little series of making little buttons for the stake tie-downs, I actually slept in this myself in a survival class I took. It was... The temperature was in the 20s, but the wind chill was in the teens that night. And I slept in that. Yes, it was cold, but I survived. So it is doable. And a good sleeping bag help, by the way. Okay. On the road, you can use your car as a shelter for winter survival. You've got emergency shelters. A second here. And I hope you remember to pack your permanent car kit. The objective is to get and stay warm and dry. That means get out of the wind and the rain. Hypothermia is a killer, and you want to learn how to make expedient shelters. And this is just in the case that you happen to be on foot, okay? Clothing and environment. You want to consider thermals and polypropylene, a hat, cap, gloves, boots, coats, heat packs, and rain gear. Small oxidation heaters, everybody's probably seen them in the sports section of whatever their store is. So you can put in your socks, gloves, your caps, usually they're orange, about this big, all the way up to this big. You know, you can put them in your shoes and your gloves, and they'll actually keep your body pretty warm. Gore-Tex or similar is best for breathability, but it is costly. Vinyl is cheap, but and it will also make you sweat. Appropriate clothing for conditions. Okay, if you get warm, you want to open up and shed a layer if need be. Layers for best warmth control. Some equipment can a tent hold a snow load if you're like in the middle of nowhere hunting and you happen to get caught in a storm? Will a stove light in the wind? There are some cheap stoves out there, and I have a hard time lighting them. Heating, you have generator-powered electricity. If you have the fuel and the high-output generator, this can run your home. Ours is a 5,000-watt generator. It runs our home when I turn everything else off. So I can run the water pump by itself, run the heater by itself. I can kind of alternate through things. You have propane and natural gas. Natural gas is fed from a utility piping. Propane is stored on site and is preferred, and it does last a very long time. Both produce good heat, and we're back to wood stove and cook stove. Both produce good heat, but need a wood source, and that is a long-term item. Solar or thermal. A sunroom with lots of windows to the south is a really good idea if you have that capability to build in that manner. Body heat. Snuggling up with other living creatures can keep you alive in an emergency, and that is a short-term heating mode. Okay. Lighting, everybody has seen the Dietz Hurricane Lantern, such as pictured there. This has a night light output. It's not a lot of light. It's run off of kerosene. It works really simple. Aladdin is a high-end home lamp that's used indoors. It has the equivalent, so they say, of about 60 watts output. And they can use kerosene or lamp oil. The Petromax is a very bright light. They are used across the world in very remote regions. It has a 400-watt output and is multi-fuel, including gasoline. Flashlights, you have battery. Alkalines last longer, but once they're dead, they're dead. Okay. Rechargeables can be recharged many times over. They have a slightly lower voltage. And they also make solar battery chargers, so if you don't have electricity, you can just set the charger out in the sun and you can recharge those batteries. Shake lights, well, I thought they were good initially until it died and then never recharged. There's a lot of different types. They're not real effective after the battery's worn out. There's a little button battery inside of it, and you think, wow, this is great. But as soon as that battery is dead, you shake it, you'll light it up for a few seconds, and then it dies again. So out it goes. Chemical lights and assorted colors and time lengths. Actually, this is LEDs. They're extremely efficient, but they're very costly. Prices have come down a lot. In fact, this is a, everybody's seen the little mini mag flashlights? This is an LED conversion, and as you can see, it's pretty bright. It's got three little LEDs in it. Okay, I use it all the time. I hardly ever have to change batteries. With the other little bulb that I had in there, I'd change them pretty regularly. So that was a nice little, conversion they made for it. Okay, light sticks. They're in assorted colors and time lengths, 30-minute high intensity or 12-hour long-lasting, as well as infrared for night vision use for all of those people that have night vision equipment in their house here, right? Okay. Third generation especially. That's only about $12,000 now, I think. Solar lighting prices are coming down, but they're still a little expensive. And 12-volt RV lighting is very efficient combined with a solar system because you're not burning the electricity off your batteries. Okay, communications. This is actually a picture taken of my house. Right now the antenna is kind of working. The upper antenna actually used to be a lot longer than that, but a storm snapped my fiberglass, so that sort of took out my amateur radio at the time of this picture. But it could be used for TV, scanner, amateur radio, elevated security camera. You know, can have a lot of uses if you have a little elevated platform there. Several options, each has its pros and cons. You have cell phones, okay? It's obvious what the pros are there because everybody's got one pretty much. Problem is, cell sites can quickly saturate in an emergency, and they are covered by a generator, so when the fuel runs out and they didn't get a chance to resupply the generator, they go out completely. So they are limited. The FRS GMRS radios, which is a radio such as the camera people are using out here in the main hall, they are actually very effective for different things. They're relatively cheap. They're good for all your neighbors or groups to keep in touch with. So it's a great neighborhood if you've got several neighbors involved in your preparedness efforts or whatnot. They're great for that. Also, the GMRS radios are supposed to be licensed, but since everybody buys them at Walmart dime a dozen, I don't think too many people actually are registering their license. Anyway, CB radios are okay, and they're cheap, but other options are preferred as a primary radio. That's just because of the saturation with those. Also, the cons on the GMRS radios is that it is a limited range. And they overstate. Have you ever gone to Walmart seeing these radios and said, 21-mile range, and you get outside and you're lucky to get a mile? Okay, that's how they overstate it. I mean, even in prime conditions, I couldn't get nearly anything they have. But, you know, if you're looking at a mile, mile-plus range, that's it's a pretty good radio. Amateur radio or ham radio, during an emergency, a license is not an issue. The pros is that you can do short or long-distance communications, depending on the band and atmospheric condition. The cons are is it does require a license and knowing the lingo, but anybody that wants to go get the license can't get it. But like I said, an emergency situation, an emergency is an emergency, you do what you got to do. If you know somebody's got a radio and they are unable to operate it, push a button and talk. Other communications, we went over CB already, but you have marine and aviation radio, and you also have scanners. Some scanners today don't pick up stuff because of the more modern trunking system that has to track multiple frequencies at a time. I assume that scanner technology is keeping up with that, though. All forms of electronics and communications are limited to power source, and an alternative energy source backup is recommended. All forms of electronics and communications are susceptible to failure in a nuclear incident due to EMP or electromagnetic pulse. That's if somebody decides to lob over a nuke and have an aerial burst. Probably seen the movies, you know, where it blows up and all the electronics just get fried. There's a number of these movies out there. That is a realistic scenario. In which case, we can go back to a string and cans or smoke signals. But, you know, there are ways to protect from EMP, using what's called a Faraday cage, which basically is, it shields from that EMP. And if you're interested in looking all that stuff up, it's all over the internet. Like I said, we have to roll pretty quick here because I'm running out of time pretty rapidly. Other electronics, you have GPS, shortwave radio, micro TV, night vision, backup micro laptop for preparedness files. I mean, they make computers so small nowadays. Flash drive. You can just store all your information on a flash drive and just stick it somewhere, you know. All right, sanitation and hygiene. It's as simple as extra water for flushing. And yes, that is actually a composting toilet there. As elaborate as a composting toilet. And you want to consider toilet paper, feminine hygiene products, diapers, biohazard bags. These are things that people don't think about when they're preparing for an incident. Any Okay, camp showers. You have shower enclosures. This is actually a hand washing machine. How many people remember seeing that about the 2000 time frame that came out during the Y2K era? It probably had Billy Mays or something doing that one, right? Yelling about it. Alternative energy. Don't count on the ready availability of electricity, petroleum products, or municipal water. When I consider your short and medium term electricity solutions. Use renewable resources such as wood, wind, solar, and non-municipal water. Some of these things, yes, they are costly. Prices are coming down, but not to Al Gore's liking. This is a steam generator by the same person that had all that food in Arkansas. Okay, there's some wind generation units. You can't have that on your home. This guy, the house isn't real pretty, but I tell you what, he's ready for the power, isn't he? This is a little hydroelectric thing. It's actually in a stream. You can see the piping on the top left there. That's where the water's coming from, and it rolls over the little water mill, if you will. It spins that really fast, and then it just sends a small current to keep some batteries charged up. And, of course, you have different sizes of that. Transportation. You have motorcycles, mopeds, or scooters. Rowboat, canoeing, and kayaking, solar vehicle, a bicycle, okay? These are all different modes that you can just consider. That was my horse trotting. Okay, livestock, if you got horses, donkeys, cattle for riding and pulling, cross-country skis for snow areas and snowshoes. I bet you've done it. It's pretty neat. And that was real slow walking. Okay, personal protection. I'm not going to get into this a whole lot because we're short on time, but each of you know that you have a right to self-defense and to protect yourself and your family, right? It's up to you how you want to do that. Some people are adamantly against using deadly force, and that's fine. But keep in mind, if somebody's using deadly force against you and you decide you don't want to go that route, you might end up dead yourself. So it's just, you know, everybody has their own place with that. And I'm not going to get into that right now because we are running short on time and I've got to skip through some things real quick.
And get your gun.
Okay. We'll do. Okay. All right. It is a personal choice. And like I said, I'm a little blunt here, so forgive me. I'm not real blunt, am I? Okay. We're going to kind of scroll through this real quick. Know how to use, obviously. If you get a gun, learn it. Just like when you got a car, you have to know how to use it, right? Keep it in a working order and go over a mental situation. That's a cool picture there. That's what I would like to have as my storage locker, but anyway. Okay. Fire protection. There are several different types of extinguishers. You want to know how to use them and what they are for. I'm not going to go into a fire class. I'm already burnt out on fire stuff. Have working smoke detectors. That definitely is a good thing. Health. You want to preserve your health so you can support yourself and your family. Healthy people are able to cope with a crisis. Take a course in first aid, CPR, EMT, advanced EMS. And train at your local rescue squad, Red Cross, or American Heart Association, and community college. And a lot of times you can get some free training in this area. Just call them, and they'll tell you. A lot of the rescue squads will get free training. Make a first aid kit for your home and auto. Know how to use it. Use every item in your kit. Consider prescription and over-the-counter medications when you're packing your goodies for any event. Look at expiration dates, and also consider extra pair of glasses if you wear glasses. Because you never know when you might drop them and get crunched on, right? Okay. I'm not going to go into bartering because it's a little bit involved, but everybody understands what bartering is, right? The underground economy. I do have one thing about this, though. Okay. The government, let's see. Barter dollars are equal to real dollars as far as the government is concerned. You must report on your taxes as if it was paid for monetarily. But since it doesn't create a traceable transaction, they would have to actively in the field investigate you to find out. So do what you will, I am not liable. And with the healthcare fiasco, you might consider bartering with your doctor who's no longer working. Okay. Here I just go over good barter items, bottom line, things that are vices for people, such as alcohol, tobacco. Unfortunately, those are real good barter items, but you got to consider, you know, what's involved with that. Okay. I'm going to scroll through these real quick. We're getting close, but I got to have a little time for questions and answers. Special needs. You want to consider your children and what their needs are. You don't want to carry a bunch of needless stuff, but if a pack of crayons and a coloring book will keep them occupied for a long period of time, you might want to think of dropping that in your bag or your car or wherever you keep your goodies. You want to consider special needs of the elderly. You want to consider their speed, their mobility, and the ability to perform, as well as their medication they may have. Handicapped, you got to consider traveling. If you have pets, you got to consider how important it is to take them and what their needs are, because obviously dragging around food and water for your animals in addition to yourself might prove to not be a good idea. On the positive side, dogs can make good deterrents from a security standpoint, and cats can provide an emotional support, at least for two people I know. Neither of them are here right now, so I can admit. Okay, 12 steps for survival success. And I'm just going to fly through these quickly. Identify the most severe threats. Know current events. Make evacuation plans and prepare a bug-out bag for yourself and each member of your family. Or each member that can carry one. Don't have your two-year-old tote in their own bag, okay? Prepare a permanent survival kit for your car. Start building up food and water supplies. Start acquiring other preparedness items. Start expanding your knowledge base and through reading and taking courses. You can build a survival library. Rehearse plans. Do all the what if mentally, okay? Develop survival awareness and mindset. Have a backup skill, okay? If your occupation is driving tanks in the military, you might actually be pretty busy in times like this because they'll probably be having to do some work. But, you know, if you're not, you might want to know carpentry or something else that might be useful in a underground society. You want to get out of debt. Everybody knows how important that is, right? I am not the example. pray for wisdom and help in troubling times, okay? This is actually my favorite publication, Backwoods Home Magazine. They are in, I think it's called Golden Beach, Oregon, I believe. Is that the state that's below Washington? Okay, that's the one. They have a wealth of information there. You'll probably just get one issue if you just want to try it out type deal. Countryside Magazine is another one. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of that. Internet, there's all kinds of information out there. Whatever topic you want to look up, look it up. Okay, that is my presentation. I have 5 minutes. Barely. Like I said, this was very quick. I had to speed up near the end. Didn't cover it with personal protection, but most people are pretty much where they're at with that. I don't see any people that are like, you know, in their 20s necessarily. So, start off with you, sir.
I didn't see this mentioned there. I know it kind of connects with the bartering, but I feel like one of the most important things for people who are considering exodus, not just rooting down and bunkering, but preparing for exodus and how important community going from one prepared community to another prepared community and how networking those communities can be very important.
Well, network community is important. In fact, we're talking to other people in here from Idaho. Okay, I was talking to them. There's this place out there called Almost Seven, which is what they called, that was a Christian covenant community. I was affiliated with Bogreitz and his spike training stuff that went on back in the 90s. And there's actually a number of communities that are oriented towards getting back to the basic living and networking with other communities of like. And yeah, that kind of should have been in there, but I'm also tweaking this. This actually is about 5 years old, and I've added to it a bit. So, good idea. Yes, sir.
What do you think of getting to know your neighbors through Neighborhood Watch program?
That's an excellent way to start. Honestly, getting to know your neighbor can be through anything. It can be through just having a neighborhood picnic. We actually haven't had one in a while, but on my cul-de-sac of about five or six houses, we had a neighbor had a shindig for everybody. Just the people right there on the block got together. And then you just mill around and talk to people, and you can kind of just subtly throw up the subject. Hey, what do you think of our current administration? Where do you think the country's going? And you just go from there, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, you know, I've got a gun if you need one, you know. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. I live in the middle of the desert over at Tolingua.
Okay.
240 miles from the nearest Walmart.
Ooh.
The people over there are very, very prepared.
I can believe it.
And the solar, and the solar panels at Harbor Freight are down to $150 for three panels. Comes with your charge controller, all your wiring, and two lights.
So Harbor Freight has some good deals on solar. Okay.
So on your vehicle, a lot of people run their house and that. They want to see TV, so they go start up their car. They have an inverter. I have on my van up there an inverter that's sitting next to my battery.
Mm-hmm.
And I can plug anything 110 into it. Whenever we start a car, we put the little thing on the plug to the battery. And we have an extension cord that runs into our car.
There's a lot of gadgets out there. There are a lot of alternative energy catalogs that are out in the market, and just go online and look up alternative energy. You'll find more stuff than you want to know. A lot of technical stuff too. So, yes, ma'am. And when I took that question was about wild edibles, correct? Okay, at home. Yeah. That is a very deep, it's a very involved area. When I went to some training, we didn't actually go into this is edible, this is not edible. It was more like a way to test if something is toxic to your system. You start off by picking it and just rubbing it on your skin, waiting a certain time frame, and then if it's, you know, no rash appears or anything, then you're kind of touching it on your tongue, rub your tongue a little bit maybe, waiting another time frame, and then you go, you know, like five or six different steps before you're actually eating a copious amount of whatever it is to make sure it's not toxin, because there is so many things, so many plants out there that aren't or are good for you. And but yeah, the homeschooling thing, and that's something where you can, not just that area, but every aspect of preparedness, you know, planning. So just make it a, like I said, for me it's a hobby. I've been doing it for 20-some years, and it's just over the years been a hobby. Yes.
In Wisconsin, we have an energy care, one of the largest in the Midwest.
I'm familiar. In fact, Backwoods Home has a booth set up there at that. Yes. All the vendors, alternative energy, anything that's preparedness, survival related, all the Countryside magazine stuff is there. It's pretty awesome. I've never been there, but I've read a bit about it, and I would love if they would do. I think they have actually done an East Coast one at some time, but wasn't able to make it. But yeah, if you're in that neck of the woods and get to it, that'd be good. Yeah.
You did good and highlighted being prepared mentally, okay? He did say spiritual, you know, food, clothing, water, whatnot, but he emphasized two or three times mental. Guys, and you said it good, Mark, that you can have all that stuff, but if you haven't drilled this stuff over your mind and it happens, you got to be ready, guys.
And even if you have prepared yourself mentally, no one actually knows how they will react in a given situation until it happens. How many of you have been in a situation where you're just like, oh my God, and your brain locked? You didn't know what to do, okay? And that was probably a relatively minor situation, right? So you gotta consider, what it does is it lessens the chance that you'll have that brain lockup should something happen if you've been properly trained and properly supplied with whatever you need for a given situation. In the back. Exactly.
The other thing is, like, for your bobcat, one of the things that they really ran into with smaller disasters is identifying people and, you know, getting help for resources so that they would make a copy of birth certificate and your medication.
Yes, that is one thing I think I actually had that on here, but I didn't have time to read through because I was trying to scroll through a little bit quicker. But yeah, any important documents, make a copy of it. Maybe not your original necessarily, make a copy of it and have them stashed in your goodie bag so if you do happen to get relocated away from home, you've got important papers with you. Okay, unfortunately, I'm out of time, okay? Anybody that wants to talk with me later can, but it won't be right now because I've got to go and set up for talent show. Yes, while everybody else goes and eats.